Richard C. Wilson here at Family Office Club, and I am going to give you due diligence time savers now as the second video in our due diligence mini series. This is very helpful for private investors, so when running a company, acquiring real estate or assets, a whole bunch of ideas related to saving time and energy and grief and money along the way. So, first of all, you need to know the three buckets that you're working on. What brains are going to help you manage these three buckets of investments? If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say buckets, please see the first mini series. And you have to know, especially for real estate, the food groups, the location, and then say no to everything else unless it's just so exceptional, true, as part of your 5% or 2% or 1% exception to your rules. And then in the niche where you're focused on the most, be even more tight on the criteria and really laser focused. Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal, says that extreme focus is a superpower. And Steve Jobs says that focus means that you could do a deal, or you could acquire something, or you could serve a customer, and you know it would make you money, and you're very confident in making money, and you still say no to it. Because that allows you to say yes to things that could be amazing, really move the needle, be excellent, more enjoyable, etc. If you don't have a clear vision on what your three buckets are, you're going to spend time on things that are just a complete waste of your time. As an investor, if you're talking to somebody and you don't understand their industry, you don't know who the person is, you're not local to the deal, you're probably not going to do that deal unless you just say no up front. The other thing about investing is that the more connected you get, the more deals you do, the higher your net worth, the bigger your company gets, the more people hear that you're an investor, the more your deal flow is going to expand naturally. So while saying no is important to every investor and CEO, the thing I found is that every year you have to get better and better at saying no. What are more ways that you can say no in a way that's polite and doesn't burn bridges and doesn't, put people off? Some people get put off, that's their own problem, but you have to come up with more and more ways to say no quickly and eloquently if you want to keep a good reputation. One tip is that when you're speaking to someone about potential investment, if you just don't like them and you don't know why, then just say no early on and say it's not a fit, right? You don't have to take a meeting or look into something because it fits your criteria. If you don't like the people, then none of that matters, right? If you're not sure why you don't trust somebody's pitch deck, you're not sure what is off, you can't put your finger on it, then just say no and move on. That can save you a lot of time. Also, this is one of the best tips that's just super simple that almost no investors do when they get started. Everyone who's raising capital wants to get you in a Zoom, on a phone call, in a live meeting, face to face. They really want to do that, right? Right out of the gates, before you even know it's what they're investing in or offering you, they'll want to do that. My advice is to not do that because, from their perspective, yes, they have the maximum engagement. They're dominating your time now for 30 minutes of your life. But from your perspective, that might not be a really great investment of time. So this is connected to what the next video is going to focus on, but you should have the three, five, or seven questions that you ask everybody before you get on a phone call, before you take a serious look at the materials, before you any deep dive, any meeting with them. And this is because most of the time, people will not pass these simple three, five, or seven questions. They'll either take 6 weeks to get back to you, they'll maybe not get back to you. They'll want you to sign an NDA before you even know what industry they operate in, which I would never do. They say something like, "Oh, well, sorry, I can't really explain it over email. It has to be said over the phone." Be like, "Okay, well, that's a pass because we screen all of our deals over email first. And I am extremely strict on that. I won't screen anything verbally. There's no way to physically do that with our investor club, 7,000 investors and 1,000 members raising capital for things. So it's just not practical. It's also not efficient or effective." And what I found is that by having your three, five, or seven questions that you're asking, like previous 3 years of financials, how you came up with the valuation, who's on the team, please tell me a little bit more about what differentiates you from the competition. If they say things like, "We don't have any competition," or, "Oh, our financials, yeah, we're planning to do 18 million this year." It's like, "Okay, well, it's not really what I asked. What'd you do last year?" "Oh, $18,000? Okay, that's very different. Did you do $12 million last year?" "Okay, $18 million might be aggressive, but maybe you have the growth track to do that, and that makes sense." Never seen a bad pro forma. Everybody shows in a startup world typically a magical pro forma, right? We have to be very careful with that in conducting your due diligence because many times you're investing in a company, at least on a discounted cash flow model, and they're saying, "We are worth $12 million because of this future cash flow." But if that future cash flow doesn't happen, or it takes 7 or 12 years to happen instead of 2 years, then do you get more equity? Because if the future cash flows had been at a different level, the valuation would have been very different. Is there some compromise there? Is there something that takes care of you as an investor? Usually not. And it's just good to be aware of that risk when you go into a deal. That's why you could potentially make a lot of money, because you could potentially not as well. You have to be aware of that and have your eyes wide open to it. The other thing is that when you're asking 5 or 7 questions over email, their answers will typically bring up another 3 to 5 questions that you instantly get curious about. And then after that, it may be worth having a phone call or a Zoom. If you're still skeptical and you think you're probably going to say no, I would just keep on asking questions over email. There's no rule that you have to take it to a meeting or a Zoom or a phone call. They may highly prefer that because they're slow typers, and that's their problem. They should go take a typing class then. It might sound, slightly rude, but that's just the candid reality in today's digital world. If an investor wants to communicate via email and they ask for answers via email, they say, "No, I'm traveling nonstop. I got up at 3:30 a.m. this morning to catch up on all my emails before my event or before my travel, et cetera. I'm on an airplane right now. I literally can't do a call right now, but I can learn more via email." Then that is how they want to be communicated with. And someone who's raising capital and doesn't respect that doesn't really respect you now, and they might not respect you nearly as much maybe after they've gotten their money. Hopefully, they respect you even more. But it's a warning sign up front when people won't communicate in the mode that you want to communicate with and that works best with you as an investor. So I would just say no to people that won't communicate with you that way. So screening deals via email and clearing out 95% of things that come to you because they don't fit the focus of your 3 buckets, because they had bad answers to your 5 or 7 questions and then your 3 to 5 follow-up questions, that can eliminate 95 or 99% of all the things coming at you. They could literally take 100 hours a year to sit on Zoom, sit on phone calls, sit on all these things. The last thing I'd say is that just this morning we had a $10 million in EBITDA medical practice group because we do a lot of deals in the medical space. Besides running our investor club, it's the only operating business niche that we're currently investing in, medical and dental practices. We've got equity in about 37 different medical practice locations. And I was talking to one of my clients who's a billionaire. We've done 19 deals with him. And I showed him the 7 questions I asked, their answers, the next 5 questions, their answers, and the deck of a 10 million EBITDA medical practice group. And he was interested, but he said, "Well, let's ask for 5-year financials, 5 years worth of financials on each of their individual medical practices, all 12 of them." And I said, "Okay, we can do that. That's fine. That will save us a lot of time because if they can't provide them and they're not well organized, or if the financials are bad, et cetera, then it will save us a lot of time." So I instantly got why he would want to do that. And if he has to sign an NDA at that point, it's not just asking surface level questions, right? Asking for somebody's financials, then he would sign an NDA and he doesn't mind doing that. So I hope this email, or I hope this video as part of our due diligence mini series saves you an hour of time, dozens of hours of time. I hope it saves you from dodging, doing a deal that you shouldn't be doing, wasting time on Zoom calls and phone calls you shouldn't be on. The more of a high net worth or ultra wealthy investor you are, the more that this video, compared to all the others in those due diligence mini series, may be the most valuable, because time is what all of us have little of. If you have a lot of money, you typically have very little free time, and you have 100 employees or 1,000 employees and a lot that you need to get done every day. So I encourage you to watch this mini series at 1.5x, so you can get through it and use your time best. You can always rewind it if you need to go over something another time. You can also reach out to me directly if you have any questions. If you want access to some due diligence tools, our private investor playbook, access to our investor community and live events, just reach out to me directly. It's Richard at 305-333-1155. You can text message me or message me on WhatsApp, and it's 305-333-1155. And my email is just richard@investorclub.com. And I will see you on the next video in our due diligence mini series. I hope you enjoy this one.